Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Amen. What are you looking forward to while in this life? Family gatherings? Work? Eating? Shopping? Sleeping? Peace on earth? Giving and receiving gifts at Christmas? The end of the world? Who looks forward to the end of time? Believers in Jesus do, because we know what that time means. The peace that we have in our hearts will be taken to the next level. And so we are encouraged to look forward to that time, and in the meantime, to keep busy living life God's way. That is where our service is taking us this morning on the second Sunday in Advent. Thus, two candles are lit in blue to help prepare our minds and hearts to celebrate the coming of our Savior. And since He has come already as the child, we look forward to His coming again, this time as judge. God bless us in our worship of Him today. We have the opportunity to celebrate a baptism at this service. Let us begin our service by turning our attention to hymn 221, hymn 221 in the red hymnal. Please rise as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Please be seated. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we hear these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Savannah, by the power of the Word, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in Christ is yours. Now in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of your salvation, that you may give public testimony of your faith. I therefore ask you, do you believe that you were born in sin and therefore eternally lost? And do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you believe that this triune God planned and carried out your salvation? And do you believe that God grants you the forgiveness of sins in holy baptism? Then answer, yes, I believe. Do you desire to be baptized? And answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Savannah Haley Self, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. And as a symbol of where our light comes from, and that you may continue to walk in him who is light, we give you this candle of light lit from the Paschal candle. So if you want to hold that for a second while it's lit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Therefore, Christian love urges all of us to assist in whatever manner possible so that Savannah may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer yes as God gives us strength.
Yes, as God gives us strength.
We pray, merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life, Look with special favor on Savannah and grant her a rich measure of your Spirit that she may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us continue with the singing of hymn 297. Hymn 297. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Our first reading for this second Sunday in Advent comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, emphasizing the fact that we are to have hearts ready for Jesus, hearts that are guided by the enduring word. We hear these words, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of our Lord. We continue with Psalm 14, carrying on the theme for Advent. We'll sing it as noted there on page 7. hearts ready for Jesus. So remain connected to the word of our Lord. This encouragement from 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Hearts ready for Jesus through the means of grace. The gospel reading from Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. At this time, if there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion, you may do so. Yep, you're good. You're good.
How you doing? Good. I got nothing for you today. No. Actually, I got something. What is this? Start making them with this. It's a present, right? How would you describe this present? Sparkly, isn't it? You like presents? get presents? Christmas time, right? Yes, yeah, it's good to receive and also give presents, right? Now, have you ever been tempted to shake the box? You know,
yeah.
Yeah? Can you guess what's in those boxes? Are you pretty good at that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's a surprise, right? But yet, we know there's a present in there. You know, as we get gifts at Christmas time, let that be a reminder of the greatest gift that all people have been given. And what is the greatest gift all people have been given?
God's love.
God's love. And God's love is clearly seen in which person? Jesus, right? Because Jesus went to the cross to take away our sins. That's why he came. And then he rose again. Because he lives, we too shall live. And there is more to the gift of God's love. Because we're all going to die at some point, maybe a long ways off. But Jesus has said, right, because I live, you too shall live. Death is not the end. So we don't know what the gift of heaven is like. It's kind of like looking at that, trying to shake that box. So the Bible gives us indications of what heaven is like. It's great and glorious and worth God. We know that gift is coming. So as you see those gifts under the tree, you gotta be thankful, right? For this kind of gift. But especially give thanks to God. Remember to give thanks to God for his gift of love in Jesus, who died for you and me, who rose again for you and me, who has a place in heaven waiting for you and me. Let's show our thankfulness by living lives that will please God. And there's something else we can do with gifts, right? Not only do we get them, but we also give them. Let's also, as we can, give the gift of Jesus to others, telling them about the hope that they have in Jesus. There's something for them. Heaven can be their home too. Let's pray about this. Father in heaven, thank you for showing us your great love in Jesus, your Son, whose birth we get to celebrate once again. And that birth of Jesus reminds us of a kept promise that Jesus came died for our sins and rose again, and now he's back in heaven and has a place waiting for all his children. So Lord, may the gifts we receive here on earth be reminders of the greatest gift you have given to us. And as we say thank you to people who give us gifts, may we say thank you to you for this greatest gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the gifts you get, and remember the greatest gift. All right? You may go back to your seats. Thank you. We'll continue with him. 16.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear once again these words from 2 Peter, the third chapter. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow people of God, looking forward to that time when we will see our Savior face to face. Would you describe your outlook on life as being either a half glass empty one or at least a half glass full outlook? Would your family and your friends agree with this assessment of yourself? How you and they answer may depend on the day and or the circumstances. No doubt the way things are going currently in our world, it is understandable if we and others have a half glass empty outlook. Just in our own state, between the fires and the politics and the acts of violence, it is easy to be less than optimistic about life. It is then that some of us may long for the good old days until we stop to realize that they were not all that great either. For the more things change, the more they stay the same. Yet, thankfully, we are able to hold on to the good memories while able to drown out the negative. Should we expect life to get better? At least how we define what better is? Bear in mind, ever since the fall into sin, this world has been in decline mode. It is only by the intervention of God that this world is not completely like Scar's world in the movie Lion King. Instead of becoming depressed or getting more depressed about this life, you and I have reason to be full of optimism, to view this life with at least a half glass full outlook. The reason for this is found not within any one of us here or with anyone else, with one exception. It is based in the attitude and action of our great God. This second Sunday of Advent speaks to our reason for this kind of attitude and outlook. With the inspired words of the Apostle Peter, we then are encouraged to look forward to the day of God. One of the ways to do this is by not losing our focus. And another way to do this is by living a life of repentance. It is not what happens in this life or world that raises up our hopes, though there are positive things which take place, right? It is rather what we know about the future that spurs us on, as the future holds out for us a sure hope. For us who are believers who have a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Yet think of all the distractions this life throws at us at an effort to take our eyes off of what is to be the focus of what is to come and only get caught up on the here and now. Some of these life distractions, we have to admit, we bring upon ourselves as we fill up our calendars, not with bad stuff per se, but just with stuff which can take our eyes off of the one thing needful and only keep it focused on this life and not the one beyond. I love sports. Yet think of how much such has taken over our lives. There used to be intentional family nights the community respected. Well, that has been blown out of the water, as not even Sunday mornings are held sacred for families to gather together for worship. And while we do not need to attend every week in order to make it into heaven? It is what missing week after week can lead to that is the danger. The relationship we thought we had with Jesus may no longer exist. For when He is not the priority in our life, then we have to be honest with ourselves and say that He probably is not even in our life. It is not just sports that becomes such a distraction. Whatever it is in your life that takes precedence over God is the distraction which causes us to lose the spiritual focus we are to have while in this life. The world in general is not going to be of help in our trying to maintain a Jesus focus throughout our life here on earth. Love of family over God, love of material possessions over God, love of whatever over God. Laws are passed which are contrary to the Bible. Churches have not stuck with some or many of the teachings within the Bible. Such things can distract us from living life as God intends, leading us to look at His Ten Commandments more as suggestions rather than commands, which are meant to show that He is our priority, as well as to serve as protection for people's lives and possessions. Several passages then come to mind in connection with this train of thought. First of all, from John chapter 8, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That truth will set you free. From Mark 8, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 10. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And finally, from 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And so it is our prayer that God help us not lose our focus by becoming distracted or remaining distracted by the things of this world. Dear friends, why is this emphasis so important? Peter tells us why when he is led to say, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Well, we in California know the damage fire can cause and how quickly that damage can come about. The fire noted by Peter is more intense and more destructive, as the Lord at that time appointed and only known by Him will bring about a lasting change to this world as we have come to know it. Indicators that God's word is true on this subject matter are all around us. Death and destruction have become a part of living in a sinful world, so much so that we at times may fail to see the message that comes with it. Stay awake, for a day of judgment is coming. The harsh fires experienced this year are wake-up calls. Something is not right with this world, and we know what that is. People dying before their time, some say. Again, another indicator that something is not right in this world, and we know what that is. The love, so it seems, of most growing cold toward Jesus. Again, another indicator that something is not right in this world, and we know what that is. As noted already, we live in a world that has been in decline mode ever since that moment Adam and Eve disobeyed God, showing their lack of Him being the priority in their life. And Satan has been having a field day ever since as he works to distract as many people as possible from the ultimate solution to deal with that decline. The solution is not just getting people to live better lives. For even if and when that would happen, such would only bring about a temporary result. And such does not prepare people for life after death. For it is not living a good life that gets people into heaven. Another great lie made up and fostered by Satan, and unfortunately too many churches who use the Christian banner. The solution, rather, is rooted in Jesus, and in particular, His work of salvation. His work is what prepares us for what is to come. And in the meantime, what we have to endure in this present world. Because life is headed for judgment and end. Movies have been made about this, and so it is on the hearts and minds of people, and well, it should be. And yet some, instead of seeing the wake-up calls as a call to action, remain in their skeptical, scoffing ways, thinking this life will go as it has been going, and when they die, they just go poof. Or as some religions teach, based on how we have lived this life, we will then come back in a different form. That's not how it works. God help us then not lose the focus He has given to us by falling for the lies of mankind or getting caught up in our own lives or becoming impatient or so become careless in our watchfulness. God does not go by our way of tracking time. He has no beginning and no end. And so a day to Him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, that's like a day. He does not need to pull out His cell phone to check what time it is or to see how long the sermon is going. He is the master of time. And when the time He has appointed for this world to come to an end, and it will come, we will all know it at the same time. For us in Jesus, it will be a day of welcome. We are looking forward to this day. This day of days, this day of God's deliverance and judgment. Our looking forward to this day then is reflected through our living a life of repentance. God's goal is not to destroy life, but rather to save life. The end of this world is all about saving for the long haul. That everyone will have salvation for the long haul. His desire is that everyone come to repentance. Now, other than Jesus, John the Baptist gives us the best example of what it means to have a repentant heart, to live a life of repentance. It involves recognizing, first of all, that we are sinners who have fallen short of God's righteous expectations for the people who live in this world. And He is the one who has given us life in this world. He is the Creator, as the Bible makes it clear that this world did not just come about with all of its intricate design. And the Bible makes it clear that His expectations have not changed over time, ever since that first man and that first woman. But Romans 3 spells out a problem and why then there is a need for repentance. It says, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the expectations of God." And so that we are clear on this, that we cannot save ourselves teaching, no matter how good of lives we live here on this earth. God tells us, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Because of this fact, the Lord exercises great patience with all of us living in this world. For again, He does not want to see our destruction, but rather our salvation. Our salvation, which comes through Jesus, the Son of God, whose birth we are looking forward to celebrate once again. Yet be careful, for many distractions looms at this time of year, as we can be led to believe that Christmas is about receiving gifts for ourselves, which we will either tire of or lose or whatever, rather than about the greatest gift and most important gift given to all mankind. It is because of Jesus we are able to look forward to the day of God with joy and confidence. And so the next part of repentance is trusting in Jesus, trusting in the fact that He has paid the full price of all the sins that we had racked up before God on account of the fact that we had fallen short of His expectations. Not by our work, but by the work of Jesus, we are saved, we are forgiven, we are justified, and able to call heaven the home we are looking forward to moving into when the Lord says it is time to do so. And this trust in Jesus leads us to the last part of repentance, and that is living a life of thankfulness God's way. Our text indicates what such a life consists of when it says, live holy and godly lives, look forward to the day of God, speed its coming, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. Living repentance is turning from a life of intentional sin and putting God's ways into practice. This includes our priorities. Worship is one of those priorities that ought to be at the top of the list. This includes our language. It is not to consist of four-letter words. This includes our living arrangements, not shacking up, giving, or getting the milk for free, so to speak. This includes acts and words of kindness. And this includes a whole host of actions God spells out for us throughout His holy word. Thus, the encouragement to read it, mark it up, digest it, and put it into practice as we look forward to the day of God. And as we and others live in such a way, it is possible that that day of the Lord could move up on God's timetable. Regardless of when, keep looking ahead rather than behind or not at all. For the day is coming. Don't forget this, dear friend. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 10.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray, our God, by your Spirit, teach us carefully and deliberately to weigh in our hearts the matter of Christian giving, that our gifts ever reflect the great debt of love we owe you. Forgive us where we fail in our duties as Christian stewards, keeping for ourselves what we ought to give. Help our offerings and gifts be such that are pleasing to you. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Please rise as we continue with the prayer of the church. We pray, Eternal Father, throughout the centuries you repeated and affirmed your promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Through your prophets of old, you continually directed the eyes of your people to the advent of their Savior.
We praise you, O Lord, for keeping your promise and sending your Son to destroy the works of the devil.
As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our King, use your mighty word to shatter our pride and to rouse us from spiritual slumber and apathy.
Move us to take to heart the words of John. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here.
You sent your Son to redeem us from sin. Let this good news be our joy and strength. Use it to cheer the lonely, encourage the fearful, and give hope to the despairing. In these days before Christmas, spare us from the stress of deadlines and the frenzy of commercialism.
Fill our lives with the message of your peace and the music of your grace.
Direct our eyes not only to the manger, but also to the skies, where we will see your Son coming again, not as a lowly child, but as the Lord of Lords.
Lift up our hearts in joyful anticipation of that day.
And Lord, for our loved ones going through health challenges, we ask that you continue to watch over them. May the procedures they have had come with ongoing success. Diane Deedy, moved to a nursing home for rehab. Carrie Schwieger, still in the hospital recovering. Brian Sampaio, home recovering and awaiting further test results. So much to be thankful for with these sisters and brothers of ours. And for Judy Washburn, who is preparing to have more tests done. Bless the medical teams with the means necessary to bring about health and healing. Be with the families dealing with the loss of loved ones. Nancy Mattson, as husband Dick has passed away, and Betty Arney, as her sister-in-law Ethel Pullman has also passed away. May your word bring comfort to their hearts and to the hearts of all who mourn. Life is a gift, and the most important life from you is eternal life. May each one of us look forward to the time you call us to yourself. As fire ravaged parts of Southern California this past week, we thank you for sparing lives and property, and for those who lost loved ones and or property, turn their hearts to the peace only you can provide, a peace which heightens the good times and upholds us during the not pleasant times of life. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. And thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your grace, in your power, and in your glory.
Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Again, great to see all of you in the house of worship this morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of our musicians this morning. You did a beautiful job in using your God-given gifts to glorify Him and to beautify our worship service. So thank you to all of you. Bible study today, there's a teen class taking place in the upper room, and then also for the adult study that'll take place here in the church proper as we focus in on the nurturing church generates grace-giving disciples. So you can stay here for that if you want. On the screen earlier, I know we gave Pastor Groth a heart attack and early April Fool's joke, as he was listed he was leading that, but he is not. So just want to reassure him that he's okay. Voters meeting today following the late service, one of the key topics for that meeting is a self-towered proposal, so if you're interested in hearing more about that, please check that out after the late service. Our second midweek Advent service is this coming Wednesday, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. There will be a supper provided before that, starting at 5:30. The supper will be held in the gym, worship here in the church proper. Avis Anderson, a memorial service, is scheduled for this coming Saturday at 1:30. That service is planned to be held in the chapel. Next week, Sunday, for the early service, please note the time change for the Christmas service, the children's Christmas service. The start time for the first service is at 8:30. Prime timers, if that is you, please see the weekly news for an opportunity to get together before Christmas. For those who are interested in looking at what the stained glass windows will potentially look like, you are invited to go to the gym and provide some feedback along the far wall. Our designs there. Just to take a couple notes, a couple minutes, for a note on that. All 10 draft medallions, that's the oval in the center of each window, are being displayed. Thought-provoking synopses of each window are there. that will help you envision what the artist saw as he prepared the designs. So please take the time to read each synopsis. In addition, there's also a display showing the four-stage drawing steps that it took to create each window, as well as glass samples for the window borders and backgrounds. And feel free to give constructive feedback using the forms provided there in the gym. For more details and timely information, please see the weekly note, the news. Copies of that are found in the church entryway. Everyone is invited to sign two cards that are intended to go to missionaries. So those cards are found on the Visitor Welcome Center. So please make your way there. Everyone is invited to sign both cards. So thank you for that. Hopefully you'll have the opportunity to greet one another before you leave. There's a couple more things we need to take care of. First of all, Chuck from Stewardship is here to give us an update. And following Chuck, we'll have then the Wells Connection, a good segment and what we do together throughout our church body to support the kingdom, getting people looking forward to that day. Also, visitors among us, please see the Visitor Welcome Center to receive a free gift. We'd love to give to you. Members, you're also able to check out what those gifts are, and if you would like one, for a slight donation, that can be possible. Savannah, welcome. It's great to be able to have that privilege. Everyone make her feel welcome and even more welcome. Family, great to have you with us. Chuck.
Well, good morning. And I guess I'm the only thing standing between you and the Wells Connection, so thanks, Pastor, for putting me in that spot. But hey, I'm here to follow up on what we communicated a few weeks ago regarding our financial situation. At that time, we reported that we were significantly behind in our offerings and encouraged the membership to help get us caught up. Well, the good news is that since then, through your generosity, we have stopped falling behind and have begun to get caught up. We offer thanks for that progress, but need your continued support. As we are still running a significant deficit for the year, we do have a ways to go yet. If there is a way for you, our partners in the ministry, to increase your support for either the day-to-day ministry or the mortgage or both, it would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to setting the stage for our 2018 ministry needs. God is good, and the proof of this is not found in balanced budgets, though we need to be good stewards of his gifts. It is rather found in what we are looking forward to celebrating in a few weeks, the birth of our Savior. Also, in honor of our Savior this Christmas season, as you consider the blessings that God has provided all year, plus the blessing of our Savior, please consider increasing your support through a one-time over and above offering this Christmas season, thanking God for his abundance and thanking Jesus for his offering of himself for our salvation. One other thing, just in the newsletter, you'll notice there's an item about our offering envelopes, our packets, and the commitment cards. Please be sure to pick yours up on the way out. Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Establishing new home mission congregations is one of our Synod's highest priorities. It's the most visible way we all share in bringing the gospel to new communities. But there's no single template for starting a new congregation. To be good stewards of our resources, we have to be creative in how best to use those resources as we bring the gospel to new corners of our country and the world.
36 new or enhanced Wells Home missions in the last few years are a testimony to God's blessings all over the United States. What nearly all these missions have in common is a core group of laypeople who are energized to use their gifts and talents to help launch a new ministry, a willingness to pitch in wherever it's needed.
The people who have just come in ready and willing to do anything it takes to start a church. People that already had this mission mindset that they're here not just to start another church for themselves, but start a church for people who don't know Jesus Christ.
New congregations have to think creatively, sometimes worshiping in rented locations.
It's moving itself.
Oh, wow, it's so strong.
For many, that means hauling in the necessary items for each weekly gathering. Members then pitch in to convert the empty room into a church. It's an opportunity to serve God with a bit of elbow grease.
The community involvement of everybody being involved and set up and tear down, it's just been a great experience.
The congregation members get this down to a science where they set up in a cafeteria at a local school or some business park where they can transform that church into a really nice looking facility.
The core group of members does more than just set up on Sunday. They've involved themselves in a wide range of hands-on activities, a key component of any home mission from its very first days.
So do you think that the disciples and Jesus could really see when they were in that cloud?
We said to ourselves, let's see what we can do about starting a church in Castle Rock. And so we just started having Bible studies, and we started talking to the Board of Home Missions and seeing what we could do as far as getting a church started here.
That is so important. In fact, we probably wouldn't send a home missionary to a spot that didn't have a strong core group.
While the core group of any new mission is crucial, so is the pastor. Often, it's a new seminary graduate who is assigned to work with a small but growing group forming a new ministry.
We're pretty happy that we've been able to do that consistently year after year now, to be able to open up new missions and even send new graduates to home missions.
In Wells, we're blessed to have a continuing stream of qualified and motivated mission pastors leading new congregations as we follow the Great Commission.
It's important to note that new home missions often begin with you, lay people who see an opportunity and bring those ideas to the Board for Home Missions. They can provide guidance and resources as we look to tell more people about Jesus Christ through mission efforts. But it all begins with people like you. Have a blessed Christmas.